The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
But a big welcome. I'm happy that you all are here. It's nice to see you all. And today I wanted to explore a little bit about the way that I'm teaching loving kindness. There's so many different ways to teach it, and don't want to give the impression that there's only one way. Of course, probably you all know this. And I'm often, you know, I start with the lovable being, and then we go to self, and then now I go to the neutral person. And I'm trusting that on your own, when you're ready and it feels like right, you'll go to the difficult person. And you maybe we'll all start exploring that here. But like, you know, I'm kind of like consistently going in a particular order. Classically, it started loving kindness with oneself. Maybe you guys know this, that because it was considered that that was the easiest. That was easier than for a lovable being. But in contemporary times, that's not always the case. So what's easiest is a lovable being. And we're including like using your imagination. Classically, it would have been somebody in particular. When I'm saying classically, I'm talking, you know, I guess around the year 500. So a couple thousand years ago, or 1500 years ago. So, but it doesn't, you know, our life doesn't unfold that way. Our practice doesn't unfold that way in terms of like being linear or being organized or, you know, going step by step. And so that's just a technique that I've taken on as kind of as my role as teacher here is to have some consistency and to go into this order. But you might find, and maybe when you're not practicing here, but at other times, that things, you want to do them in a different order, or whether that's what you want to do or not, that's just what often is coming up, right? Sometimes things are bubbling up, like loving kindness for the lovable being or for a really difficult person or something like this. That's perfectly fine. That's a little bit of a theme that I want to talk about just a little bit here, is this idea of it doesn't go in a straight line. Our practice doesn't go in a straight line. It's not neat and tidy. Of course it isn't neat and tidy. But, you know, it unfolds the way that it unfolds. And for the purpose of teaching, I'm doing it in this particular way and recognizing that some people have a lot of experience and some people don't have as much experience. So they're just kind of to offer some consistency. And then maybe to highlight this or to add a little, something a little more interesting. I wanted to, I found another poem in this book, The First Free Women. Is that on mirrors? Maybe you can, if you can read backwards, you can read it. Maddie Weingast is the author, so The First Free Women. And I'm going to, I think that there's a few poems in here that are interesting and might be fun for us to explore. So for the next few times I teach, I'll be doing this. But here's a poem. These are women back in the time of the Buddha. That's what the tradition holds. And this person's name is Vijaya. This person translates it as victor. So somebody who is victorious. And this is the poem. When everyone else was meditating, I'd be outside circling the hall. Finally, I went to confess. I'm hopeless, I said. The elder nun smiled. Just keep going, she said. Nothing stays in orbit forever. If this circling is all you have, why not make this circling your home? I did as she told me and went on circling the hall. if you find yourself partly in and partly out, if you find yourself drawn to this path and also drawing away, I can assure you, you're in good company. Just keep going. Sometimes the most direct path isn't a straight line. I kind of like this reminder. Sometimes the direct path isn't a straight line. Sometimes we might have this feeling, right? You know, I should be here by now, or I feel like I'm going backwards, or I'm going at a different pace than what the teacher is doing. Or maybe this idea of when everyone else was meditating, I'd be outside circling the hall. You know, maybe where you feel like we're nearby but not quite in the same. It's perfectly fine. This is how it unfolds. And sometimes when we, and maybe you guys know this because with the small group discussions, you talk with each other and you realize that there's some of this different people in different places on different days and different times. But just to recognize that things unfold as they unfold, and we're creating the conditions to help them move to more and more people to be included in loving kindness. But it doesn't work, you know, in a perfectly linear way or neat and tidy. Just like most things in our life, right, are not neat and tidy. Okay, so with that as an introduction, you can take an alert, upright posture. And maybe just settle into the experience of the moment. Feeling into the body. Feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling the feet on the ground. Bringing some aliveness, some presence to the experience of this moment. To allow that attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the chest move, the abdomen move. Or the air going in and out of the nose. Bringing some presence to the sensations of breathing, the experience of breathing. connecting with the inhales and exhales. And when we find ourselves lost in thought, just very simply, gently begin again. And then recognizing that you can always stay with this practice or come back to this practice. But to begin with our loving kindness meditation, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love, kindness, goodwill. This might be somebody you know, maybe somebody you know about. Or if it's helpful, you can use your imagination for kittens, puppies, or babies. So something that can like ignites the heart in some kind of way. And having the lovable being in mind, can cultivate loving kindness by repeating these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. There might be a feeling of softness or warmth in the heart area, or sometimes in the belly. There might not be too, that's perfectly fine. But if there is, can you allow this sensation to get as big as it would like? Not forcing it, not making it, but allowing it to grow if it wants to grow. And using that as a support. Of course, the body and the mind influence each other and can support each other. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness to ourselves. Bring into mind either the felt experience of this moment, what it's like to sit here, be embodied, and or an image of yourself. Some people like to use a picture when they were a child, they find that easy and endearing. You can use whatever you like. Then we just simply change the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sometimes it's nice to time the phrases with the breath. Let them have a rhythm that goes with the breathing. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And again, we can use the bodily experience as a support. If there's a feeling of warmth, or softness, openness, and then to extend our loving kindness again for a neutral person, somebody we don't know. It can be somebody on this Zoom call or somebody you often see at the grocery store or in the neighborhood or whomever. It is helpful if it can be an individual as opposed to an abstract person. Like stretch our loving kindness a little bit. So bringing this person to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Sometimes the most direct path isn't a straight line. Can you just be where you are right now without thinking that it should be different? With a neutral person, you might find that you have to refresh the mental image a little bit more often. Or you might find yourself getting bored or drifting away. That's okay, just begin again. And then we can end this meditation with some equanimity practice. For this practice, bring to mind somebody that you care about, that you know, that you have a relationship with. And yet, sometimes they're a little bit annoying or irksome. Bring this person to mind. And we can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. Maybe I'll read this poem again here at the end. When everyone else was meditating, I'd be outside circling the hall. Finally, I went to confess. "I'm hopeless," I said. The elder nun smiled. "Just keep going," she said. "Nothing stays in orbit forever. If this circling is all you have, why not make this circling your home?" I did as she told me and went on circling the hall. If you find yourself partly in and partly out, if you find yourself drawn to this path and also drawing away, I can assure you, you're in good company. Just keep going. Sometimes the most direct path isn't a straight line. This idea that things don't unfold in a straight line. And I like this line here. This is really, just keep going, she said. Nothing stays in orbit forever. We might feel, right, we're just going around and around and around. It can't quite land or connect. But to just keep going and to make going around and around your home. So instead of fighting and trying to make it different or expecting it to be different, kind of like honoring and respecting what our experience is, what is happening for us. I appreciate this very much. And this is so much how practice is, right? That sometimes we can't quite connect or not quite sure, filled with doubt or aversion, restlessness or... But nothing stays in orbit forever. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms. Maybe you can talk about this idea of nothing stays in orbit forever and there is no, it's not a direct line, it's not a direct path. And You can we can meet for how about 12 minutes. I never know exactly what the right amount is here. And let's see here. Oh. I'm just gonna. Oh, so Abraham, I see. So you're here twice. Okay. So I'm gonna consolidate you. And okay, so Abraham, both of your selves, so to speak, are in the same room now. Okay, and so let's have the, we could go by birth month. So if you're born in January, you go first. And if you're born in December, go last. And have fun. Okay, so welcome back. Would anybody like to make a comment or share how that was? No, nobody wants to?
I'll go. I just love the warmth of the Dharma friends.
Yeah. The warmth of the Dharma friends. Yeah, thank you, Abraham. I don't know if we could do this path just completely on our own. We need Dharma friends to be supporting us and helping us out as we go. Yeah. Any other comments?
I loved the part about the direct route is not always by a straight line. I can think of so many times in my life where a creative, not direct approach was the most efficient and effective way of solving a problem.
Nice. And I think probably often we need to have those experiences, right, to really trust that there's somehow, you know, that we often think like, oh, it has to be straight and efficient. But maybe I'll just say this little story that one time I was on a long retreat. And you know, when you're on retreat, like everything slows down, like really slows down. And I was standing there watching this little bird that was like hopping, it was on the ground and like scratching a little bit and hopping and scratching. I think it was trying to, I don't know what it was trying to do, but like it would scratch some earth away and then it would hop somewhere else and then put earth right back on where it had scratched away. And I thought, but you know, birds do just fine. And this is not the most efficient direct path, whatever this little birdie is doing. And I don't know, somehow this like gave permission for my mind to stop thinking that everything had to be clear and straight and, I don't know, efficient, you know. Our whole world is filled with all these creatures who maybe aren't the most efficient. Bumblebees are like, they're not like in straight lines, right? And so that's my little story. Kind of watching nature has really been a big support for me.
Your teacher was a bird.
My teacher was a bird. That's right. That's right.
I remember when I was a novice attorney and I was trying, my first big trial was going to be in front of a certain judge, and I had, was trying to sit in on some of his cases so I could find out, you know, sort of how he ran his courtroom. And the most helpful thing was I talked to his bailiff who was one of the judge was a guy who wore bow ties, and the bailiff was telling me that I should pay attention to which bow tie he was wearing, because it was an indication of whether he was having a good day or a bad day. And so he told me the good bow ties and the bad bow ties, and he would choose the bad bow ties because they were dark and sort of either black and white or black or white. And so that I should look for the sort of colorful, more flowing and colorful bow ties, and I would be having a good day. And that was incredibly, incredibly helpful to me in my career.
Nice. And Nancy, that's a nice point where you talked to the bailiff, right? Which was such a, you know, what's maybe the bailiff appreciated being spoken to or, you know, addressed.
Well, bailiffs and the court reporters are people who have a profound knowledge of the judges and the courtrooms and the way they handle cases. And all good attorneys will know those people very well.
I see. Okay. Hmm. Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind about which bow ties we wear or whatever the equivalent might be for us, right? Okay. So it's lovely to see you all. It's really lovely to see you all. And if we could unmute, then... we can say goodnight, and I'll see you guys next week.
Night, everybody.
Good night, folks. Love you all. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye, y'all.